The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. On the show this time, I would like to welcome Jeremy Wilson, the executive director and founder of the Jeremy Wilson Foundation. Also with us is Suzanne Washington, CEO of Meals on Wheels People, and Christina Fuller, festival director for the Waterfront Blues Festival. Hey guys, welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Morning.
Hello.
I'd say hey, we have a room full, but we're all on Zoom, so we have a Zoom full.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. Every year we get to talk about the Waterfront Blues Festival. Christina, it's coming up starting this Thursday, right?
It is so soon. Yep. We are ready to go, opening on July 4th.
So what can we expect of the Waterfront Blues Festival this year besides everything we expect every year, right?
Everything and more. Again, 4 days, four stages, live music for folks with all musical tastes, all sorts of genres, and of course, an amazing sense of community engagement and civic pride as we spend our holiday weekend down along the banks of the river, soaking up the summertime scene.
And the weather's going to be perfect, right?
Always.
Yeah, always. It usually is. We luck out with the weather on the Waterfront Blues Festival most of the time.
We always say that the good weather in Portland, Oregon always starts July 4th weekend.
Yeah.
That's when summertime's really here.
Can you drop some names of the performers we're going to see this year?
Oh my gosh, yes. We are thrilled to be welcoming back St. Paul and the Broken Bones on opening night, July 4th, before the fireworks. On Friday night, we've got Lucinda Williams and Margot Price, who I'm really excited about. She's an Americana act, really hip and happening right now. I'm excited to introduce her to our fans. Saturday night, the park will be full with folks seeing Ben Harper and the Innocent Criminals. And then on Sunday night, we're closing out with Green Sky Bluegrass, which is a new genre for us to really showcase at this level for the fest. And of course, dozens of local and regional musicians. We've got over 100 acts and something like 500 musicians that'll join us at the festival over the course of the weekend.
That's awesome. And two stages like normal?
Four stages. Four. Plus the blues cruises. So we've got the two primary stages in the bowl. And then we also have Front Porch Stage and Crossroads Stage, which offer up more alternatives for music and programming beyond the two stages.
If someone has been living in a hole and doesn't know where the Waterfront Blues Festival takes place, explain where it is.
Yes, absolutely. So we're in downtown Portland in Tom McCall Waterfront Park, and we find ourselves on the north and south side of the Hawthorne Bridge. So there's an amphitheater down at the south end, kind of at Jefferson Street, Clay Street, Columbia Street. You just follow those all the way to the Willamette River. You'll hit the park, and we'll be waiting for you. We take up about 8 acres of space down there to fill in all the festival programming.
And where can we get tickets?
Waterfrontbluesfest.com.
Can you get tickets at the gate?
You can definitely get tickets at the gate as well. Some of the VIP tickets, blues cruises, and auxiliary events do sell out. So I'd suggest getting those early if you really want to make sure you've got it. But nearly everything is available at the door as well.
Not only is the Waterfront Blues Festival just an amazing community event and some fantastic music, it's also a great way to, you guys really showcase some nonprofits in the area. Tell me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. This year, the festival is entering its 37th production of the fest down in Waterfront Park. And one of the common threads for nearly four decades is its connection to the community and using its showcase of platform to lift up organizations doing good work for our neighbors in our community. And we're thrilled to be partnering again with the Jeremy Wilson Foundation and Meals on Wheels People to align with care and causes that the festival really cares about, the musicians in our industry, as well as seniors and those in need of food and hunger. And so the partnership and the alignment with these two organizations is so good. And really a part of the festival's DNA to really connect with the community.
Well, let me introduce one more time Jeremy Wilson with the Jeremy Wilson Foundation. Hey there, Jeremy. So what do we expect from you guys this year?
Well, we're going to be down there in force and just so extremely happy to be partners with the Waterfront Blues Festival for the fourth year. I'm really excited. The Meals on Wheels people and the JWF have teamed up this year on a wonderful, crazy, amazing raffle that's available online right now. You can get your tickets, and the drawing is going to be happening in on July 7th, that Sunday. You don't have to be there to win. But I think I'm most looking forward this year, honestly, to sharing a common space with the Meals on Wheels people and kind of working together to showcase all the need that's out there, both for the general public and food insecurity that Meals on Wheels people covers. And then, of course, the work that we do with artists to help them through musicians, through, you know, their medical challenges and serious emergencies and crises that they may go through as independent contractors. And so, yeah, we're just really thrilled to be down there representing and so thankful of the Waterfront Blues Festival and to be working with Meals on Wheels people.
Jeremy, tell me more about the Jeremy Wilson Foundation. When did it get started and how come?
Okay, well, let me see if I can do the elevator speech here. We were founded in 2010 after about 2 years after a diagnosis I had of Wolf Parkinson White, which is a serious congenital heart condition, which I didn't find out about until I was 40. The doctors were amazed because they thought, oh, man, you should have known about this when you were 15. And I'm like, oh, well, I've been traveling the road with the Dharma Bums and my band Pilot, you know, for the last 25 years. And the last thing I can afford is health insurance and things like that. So I didn't have a lot of regular visits to the doctor. So through my experience, we just really said, what is going on here? Why don't we have a safety net that's, you know, musicians supporting musicians so that we can be there in times of serious medical challenges? And, you know, musicians are the very first people everybody calls upon when there's a disaster, there's a hurricane, you know, yeah, or we need to raise money for big causes like fighting worldwide AIDS and those types of things. Musicians are always called upon. And it just blew my mind that there was no organization that I was aware of that was like ours, which is, wait, a 501c3 where we can set up a safety net, a group health fund, if you will. And we started with $350, and in that time we have given out about $1.5 million in assistance.
So wow,
it's a real grassroots organization that is doing our best to help Oregon and Clark County, Washington musicians and their families during medical crises.
That is fantastic. That what a success.
It's wild.
Let me introduce again once more Suzanne Washington, CEO of Meals on Wheels people. Hey there, Suzanne.
Hi.
So
tell me
more about Meals on Wheels people. What do you guys do?
Well, we started in 1970 during the War on Poverty days, and our mission is really to make sure older folks have the food and social connection they need to thrive as they age. Our mission also includes feeding other folks when we have capacity, and so I'm really excited to team up with Jeremy's Foundation. And one of our big things that we do is medically tailored meals. And so for folks with chronic illness and coming out of the hospital who may have no other way to eat during their recovery, we provide medically tailored meals to those folks. So wonderful combination of health and nutrition. And I know music is just like food. It nourishes the soul. And you can't really have less of either one. So we're excited to be here again. And I think we have a better, fuller presence this year in making sure people get fed. And again, we do a lot to reduce social isolation for older folks as well. So food is the entree into their lives, and then kicks in all sorts of other things to help make sure older folks have what they need to thrive.
How did Meals on Wheels people get involved with the Waterfront Blues Festival?
You know, I was thinking back about that, and it was in 2021, and I'm really not sure how it happened. Christina probably knows better than I do, because I was kind of think it's like coming out of the pandemic, and how did we get connected? But we love it, and I think last year we struggled a little bit with our capacity, and this year we're back, and I think it helps also to team up with our booth and the raffle. We're doing it together with Jeremy's Foundation, so we love being here. I think it is our fourth year as well, and can't remember how it happened, but we're really appreciative that it did.
I remember how. It was a classic case of other good folks in the community thinking that we should be friends and hanging out together. And it was our partners at Bank of America that saw the work we're doing and the work that you're doing at Meals on Wheels people and thought that we'd be better together. So it was a really kind introduction from our friends at Bank of America.
Thank you for reminding me that. That is so true. And I remember we did the cruise together, right?
Exactly.
So yeah, thank you. I have to remember that. Thank Bank of America, because it's wonderful being part of it.
Suzanne, tell me about the state of food insecurity right now.
Well, I think for everybody, it's challenging with inflation and the cost of groceries. But for older folks that are living on a fixed income, it continues to grow and be a bigger need more than ever. One in four people in the country that are over 60 struggle with food security. Many of the folks we serve, 65% of those we serve are over 80. And those tend to be the folks that they're on a fixed income, and the longer they live, the less money that turns out to be. They also, more than half of those we serve live on less than $20,000 a year. So when you're talking about, can you feed yourself and pay the rent and buy your medications and, you know, heat the house, it gets harder and harder. So we're seeing a growing need. And as those boomers age, it tends to be, even if they're, I met with a 90-year-old last week, he's still doing great. He is managing his money to the penny to make sure that he has enough of what he needs. And our food and supplementing his income with food makes a huge difference to his ability. And he still volunteers and is super active and needs some help. So we are glad we're here, but the need is growing for older folks.
Yeah.
We also have a very huge, in my mind, huge, big Meals for Kids program. So we're working with families that have kids under 18 in the home and are at the poverty level. And we provide meals similar to what we do for older folks, but lots of gallons of milk and loaves of bread and that kind of thing. And we did about 350,000 meals last year, or this current year, with them. So the need is still out there. And I think for older folks is growing. And then for families, it's still a struggle to get the basic needs met because of the costs that are out there for all of us.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about social isolation and how Meals on Wheels people helps with that, too.
Well, what we really want to do is make sure we don't just give people food and walk away. Being isolated, if you're older and isolated, if you're homebound and can't get out and you don't really have people to talk to, it's been equated to smoking 14 cigarettes a day. So it's not good for your mental health or your physical health. So we want to make sure we're talking to people, we're connecting them to others. So, for example, we have a big friendly chats program where we have over 600 volunteers calling older folks routinely every week, a couple times a week, and just chatting on the telephone. A lot of our older folks still, their primary source of communication is the phone, their landline, really, not even a smartphone. So we're also working with technology to help people connect and get iPads and smartphones and support in using them, training how to use them. We do a called Senior Planet, where we have a curriculum to train people in multiple languages on how to use technology and stay connected to family, friends, make new friends, that kind of thing. So it's a huge effort on our part to, like I say, food is the entry into their lives. And then we find out what they really need to thrive, because it is, isolation is just bad for all of us. And I think we all learned that during the pandemic. So older folks, it's even worse. So we're working on it every day to make sure they're connected.
Great. Let's talk again with Christina Fuller, Festival Director with the Waterfront Blues Festival. Christina, what does it mean to you and the Waterfront Blues Festival to be involved with these two organizations?
Yeah, it's an honor. Just hearing Jeremy talk through the kind of origin story of his own personal experience, and then Suzanne talk through the statistics of my neighbors, your neighbors, our community members, it means a lot to the Blues Festival to be able to partner with organizations that are on the ground 365 days a year in our community, making it a better place for all of us. And I think ultimately that's what we try to do through a music festival over a course of a weekend every year. But they're doing the work that makes our community thrive. And so it's an honor to stand alongside them and find ways to creatively connect the dots between what may seem like there's not a lot in common, a music festival and then some nonprofits in the community. But at the core of it, we have so much in common, and sharing our fans and our fest goers with these organizations and vice versa just truly does make us all kind of better together.
Well, and the Waterfront Blues Festival is just such a community event. You know, it's a showcase in downtown Portland over the 4th of July weekend. It's such a great thing.
It feels good. And I think in this day and age, every year I feel more strongly about this, but it feels like it's needed more than ever. We need moments like this for our community, our friends, our family to gather and celebrate in one place and what time, and celebrate what is good about our community and what makes Portland so Portland, a vibrant music industry, a vibrant event scene, a really compassionate city of people caring about what they're doing. And so community events, independently owned and operated events on top of that, are critical to the fabric of Portland and to the cultural scene and DNA of this area as well.
And the Waterfront Blues Festival kicks off this Thursday, the 4th of July. What, besides all the fantastic music, of course, what else can we expect? What's going on?
Music all the time. Well, we've also got 5 blues cruises on the Portland Spirit, 2 of them directly benefiting our Blues Fest Cares partner on Saturday and Sunday. If you buy a ticket to either of those cruises, net proceeds go fully back to our nonprofit partners. And that's a great way to listen to music. We have 3 bands, 1 on each level of the boat, and you get to sightsee up and down the Willamette, which is just a fun way to experience it. So that's a great way to experience the festival. We also have late night shows for folks that have the energy for the night owls among us. We're in a couple different clubs around town. Again, really trying to re-energize downtown, Central East Side, different locations to add vibrancy and foot traffic to downtown. So we've got the festival, we've got the music, we've got everything going on at the festival over the 4 days, but more. So come one, come all. Kids 12 and under are free. It's a perfect thing for the family to do, to grab your parents, grab your kids, and show up to the festival over July 4th weekend.
Jeremy, are you and the Jeremy Wilson Foundation going to have a presence at the festival?
Yes, we will have a tent at the Blues Cares tent alongside Meals on Wheels people, where we will be running a raffle, the Community Cares raffle, which has incredible prizes that we hope people will check out. You can check it out right at thejwf.org. We're doing a 50-50 raffle with Meals on Wheels. So for every ticket that you buy, 50% of it goes to Meals on Wheels. 50% of it goes to the Jeremy Wilson Foundation Musician Health and Services Program. And you're just doing a good thing. And there's only 1,000 tickets, so you have quite a good chance to win. And the prizes include things like Alaska Airlines flights anywhere in the country. We've got amazing concert experiences for Edgefield and the Grand Lodge. We've got many restaurants and wineries. We tried to make it an experience oriented raffle. So the Community Cares raffle, please look it up online at thejwf.org and get those tickets now. You can get them right now online. And then we'll be doing the drawing live at the festival on July 7th at 8 p.m. You do not have to be there to win. If you win, we're going to get you all of your amazing prizes. Excellent. So yes, we are going to be working our butts off on that there at Waterfront Blues Festival with our partners.
How does teaming up with the Waterfront Blues Festival help raise awareness for the Jeremy Wilson Foundation?
Well, we're doing one of the things that it brings. We're doing an interview with you, and we're getting to talk with our community partners. So I feel like it's really more than the fundraising, which is incredibly important, especially now after 4 years of pandemic and the sort of the exhaustion that everybody's feeling by trying to take care of each other. But we're still in need of help there. So the fundraising is very important and very, very important. But for the most important thing we do, which is we help musicians. And so by the very virtue of getting the community knowing more and more about us, so that everybody knows a professional or semi-professional musician who dedicates their lives to bringing wonderful vibes to our community, you know. And there's just no doubt in the span of their career that something's going to happen where they're going to maybe need a little hand. And this is a way for us to kind of preload the situation, you know, like, so we can have this safety net, the assistance there. And our assistance is not just money. Okay. We have twofold thing that we do. We give out grants to help with the period of time that they're going through. But more importantly, they work with social workers that we call navigators in our organization. And they will work with them anywhere from a month to a year, depending on, or even sometimes longer than that, depending on whether they're maybe dealing with cancer or something very serious like that, or the hospice experience where we have come in many times to help in that process. But the navigators are there to help them not only have like Meals on Wheels, somebody on the phone, not feeling alone in what they're going through, and to also help to try to find other local, state, and federal assistance that might be there for them. And we found that this is like the as equally important of component as maybe paying somebody's rent for a month or two, which is also the biggest fear of most independent musicians, is losing their home when they are not able to make income. Because as many people know, the independent contractor status means that you're not receiving any kind of health benefits or unemployment benefits if you are to get sick or something like that. So it's a giant fear. And most musicians, we've done surveys, have little to no long-term funds and savings. And it's a precarious life for many musicians, but I'm very glad that musicians choose to be musicians, because I just can't imagine not having Waterfront Blues Festival, not having a vibrant city that's filled with music and art. So, you know, I hope people don't look down on people that don't make that much money sometimes, you know, because what they're giving out from their soul is more precious than gold.
Yeah. Suzanne, is Meals on Wheels people, are you going to have a presence at the festival, and can people come and learn more about it?
Yep. We will be in the tent with Jeremy. We are sharing that space and involved in getting those raffle tickets out there, talking to people. Hopefully people will stop by the booth so we can let them know what we have going on, and maybe even sign up to volunteer. We need hundreds of volunteers every week just to get the meals out that we need. So we will be there every day. I've got a crew who loves, loves, loves music and chatting with people. So we'll be there every day, all day, you know, making connections. And that, I think that's what's wonderful about the festival, is that he brings lots of awareness. Most people have heard of Meals on Wheels, but most people don't realize that, you know, we'll provide 1.3 million meals this year to folks who need it. And that takes money and volunteers and resources and any word we can get out to the community that helps us generate those volunteers and those funds. Like Jeremy says, fundraising is super important. It's huge. We have to raise about 2/3 every year of the money we need just to meet that 1.3 million need, and that continues to grow. So we'll be there, and we'll be happy to chat with anybody who comes by.
Excellent. Christina, we have about a minute left. How about giving me an overview of everything I can expect at the Waterfront Blues Festival? Doing it in a minute might be tough, but go for it.
Yes, here we go. You can expect great music, sunshine, summertime, perfect festival experience from live music, family programming, local food and drink, local vendors, artisans. You have a full day's worth of activity. So buy your tickets, come on down for July 4th weekend, and show up to support your community, your musicians, your nonprofit partners, your independent music festival producers, the food vendors, everything that is there. This is where you want to be for July 4th weekend, is downtown Portland Waterfront Park for the 37th Annual Waterfront Blues Festival.
Family friendly event, right?
Absolutely.
How about fireworks?
Fireworks on July 4th.
Woo!
We do the largest downtown fireworks show, and that will cap off our first night. So we're going big on the first day, which is always awesome. So we will have those closing up after St. Paul and the Broken Bones on July 4th.
Excellent. This has been fun, you guys. Can't wait for the Waterfront Blues Festival coming right up. Thanks for being
Jerry.
On the show.
Thank you.
We've been talking today with Jeremy Wilson, Executive Director and Founder of the Jeremy Wilson Foundation, Suzanne Washington, CEO of Meals on Wheels People, and Christina Fuller, Festival Director for the Waterfront Blues Festival. If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.